he's got good quarterback awareness and instincts. I think it's shown, you know, in the way he can move within a pocket and buy time that way. You know, there's two types of elusive quarterbacks, the ones that run around, and there's the other ones that manipulate the pocket to buy time, you know. And the best of in the last 20 years of that has been Tom Brady. And he's got a little of that in him as far as manipulating the pocket.
Whoa. Got a little Teddy Bridgewater's got a little Tom Brady in him. Then what are we doing? Get your Super Bowl tickets ready, folks. You got a little Tom Brady in Denver. All right. Here we go. Broncos preseason undefeated so far, 2-0. They worked Seattle 30-3. I mean, that's got to be a great sign, right? Or are you still, it's preseason. Yeah, but even in preseason, they're looking pretty good. You got to be happy with the depth, I will say, outside of the offensive line. So let's get into the quarterback stuff. Teddy Bridgewater looked amazing. He did. He was with the number ones. Now, Colfax, were we or were we not under the impression that both guys would be working with the ones in this scenario starting out in the first half for the Broncos? That was not the case at the offensive line for Drew. None of the starters were in there when Drew Locke was in. So his first two passing attempts or passing plays, they were in the backfield right when they snapped the ball, essentially. And, you know, I'd someone say, well, yeah, but weren't they going up against Seattle's number twos? Sure. But what does it have to do with Drew Locke? Doesn't have anything to do with Drew Locke. Has everything to do with the fact that your offensive line, secondary offensive line, is bad, getting worked by Seattle twice in a row. I thought Drew Locke settled down, drove down the next drive to get in field goal range. They kick a field goal. Now, would they have two or three fourth down? Was it three fourth down attempts and three fourth down conversions? More importantly, yes. This isn't a Brady hates Teddy Bridgewater day. This is if this is the route we're going, it doesn't make sense to me. If it truly is 50-50 or 53-47, Teddy, you still go with the guy that has more potential. Brady, what does that mean, potential? It means that Drew Locke is younger. And what did Pat Shurmur say last week? He said last year was an extension of Drew Locke's rookie year. So that was your rookie year. If you guys believe in your offensive coordinator, the guy that's going to be running this offense, he said last week that Drew Locke's last year, no real offseason prep, was essentially an extension of his rookie season. So when we say potential, that's what we mean. Rookies, I don't care if you were drafted first round, seventh round, or undrafted. As a rookie, wouldn't you say, yeah, there's nowhere to go but up? So if they're 50-50, and Teddy's been playing for 8-9 years now, who can you say they have nowhere to go but up about? It's Drew Locke. No question. Sean Keeler in the Denver Post is mad about conspiracy theories to defend your quarterback, about why he's not, why he's, you know, you're building all these cases. Well, I saw what I saw. I saw you didn't have the regular starting line in front of Drew Locke in what was supposed to be another test. You went for it on 3 fourth downs with Teddy, which during the regular season, aren't those punts? 4th and 5? Now, Vic's saying, no, I would have gone for that in the regular season because I have more confidence. Have we known Vic Fangio to do a lot of that? I don't think so. But the idea, Sean Keeler goes on and writes, you know, hey, I get it. You guys are, both quarterbacks look pretty good, da 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 da. But coming up with these conspiracy theories as far as why Drew is not the guy is ridiculous. I'm not saying Vic is sabotaging Drew Locke. I'm just saying that if Teddy's the guy, then that was the guy Vic wanted from the get-go. And it makes zero sense. Because if both guys are that even, what are we doing here? Because Drew Teddy, for sure, 100% Colfax, is not the guy in the future. This is a stopgap. So if Teddy's your guy, then you better get on the phone right now with all your scouts, and you better do some damn good digging on quarterbacks, because this is not the... And it might not be the case with Drew, but we know that it's not the case with Teddy Bridgewater. Keeler goes on and says, Team Drew Lock looked at the scoreboard and fumed. Why does he need four downs? Why doesn't Lock get the same opportunities? This thing is fixed. Fangio, okay, you tell me then. When Fangio was asked last week about Drew Lock's performance, which was perfect, that performance was the best one of the preseason so far. That performance. Vic went off about Teddy. He transitioned from, yeah, they did good, but I tell you, they both did good. Teddy, he goes off. So, yes, the Drew Lock conspiracy theorists, you might have some legs to stand on here. Because when asked about Teddy this go-around, you just heard it. He went into detail. In fact, my friend, how many head coaches compare a quarterback in some capacity to Tommy Bones? I mean, what are we doing here? Compared Bridgewater's pocket awareness to that of Tom Brady. Listen, I thought Teddy looked great. Drew didn't look as good. He had some moments. But I also look at offensive line matters, folks. Offensive line matters. And we've learned that the hard way in Denver. Now, I've heard this before. Well, they're both going to play at some point because Teddy's going to get hurt or struggle or whatever. Then go the other way around. You go with Drew Lock. You find out quickly if he's the guy. If he's not, you go with Teddy. And then you begin your new process of looking into a quarterback. But if you go this way, if you go with Teddy, and you start with and you have Drew Lock as the backup, I feel like you're setting him up for failure. I'm not sure that Drew Lock is one of those mentally tested guys that's going to be able to handle this. Maybe he will be, but I think some guys can, some guys can't. And he's still a young quarterback. He's essentially his second year, if you want to take it what Pat Shurmur said, that last year was an extension of his rookie year. This is essentially his sophomore year then. And those of you that are like, well, what? We've already seen what Drew Lock can do last year. We've already seen. Well, then try it for three games. If Drew Lock is the Drew Lock from last year, then you got Teddy. That's the whole point of this thing. Now, if it was overwhelming, and Drew Lock 2 weeks ago came out against Minnesota and was abysmal, and practice we hear that he's just way off and it's not Teddy, then sure, yes, yeah, you go. But everything we've heard from head coaching staff to the deepest of Broncos insiders, they've said the same thing. That this thing is 50-50. That this thing is tight. So if so, I sound like a broken record, but it's obvious, folks. Vic can get the best of both worlds. If it's 50-50, he gets a guy that can come in and manage this offense. And they also get the real test to see if Drew Lock's the guy going forward. They had their opportunities. I don't know what they would have had to get for Matt Stafford, but it would, well, obviously what the Rams did. So they didn't go that route. If they were that desperate, then they would have gone that route. They would have drafted someone at number 10. But they weren't. They still believed that Drew Lock was the guy. At least George Payton does. Now, how much say does George Payton and John Elway have in this situation? All you're hearing is it's Vic Fangio. There's a part of me, yes, if you're going off of last weekend's performance, if you just want to look at the box scores, then you're going to go with Teddy Bridgewater. It just, that's the way it is. Teddy was 9 for 11, 105 yards, a nice touchdown pass, had a rating of 136. Drew Lock was 9 of 14, 80 yards. He was sacked twice and had a rating of 79.5. But if you want to go based off stats, then Brett Rippon's your guy. 3 of 3, 31 yards, 1 touchdown, 149.3 rating for Brett Rippon. It just doesn't make sense to me if that's the way we go. Now, Vic has not made a decision yet. Will we get that today? At halftime, he was asked what he thought of the quarterback competition by Rod Mackey. And he said, hey, I don't know, still looking 50-50 to me. And maybe he really believes that, but I can't say it enough. Teddy has been throwing interceptions at training camp, according to our very own Broncos insider, Zach Stevens. Drew, not as much. In fact, Teddy leads in the interception category in practice. Now, neither of them have thrown any interceptions in the preseason. So this whole thing of, well, yeah, but Teddy doesn't throw picks. He's just going to be steady Teddy. Well, this version of Drew Lock so far has been virtually turnover free. Did he fumble a couple of times and recover his own fumble? Yes. But I mean, in all fairness, he has to hold on to the ball. You can't fumble. You can't let it go. He did recover. But that offensive line is not the offensive line that he's going to be working with if he's the starter. First Advantage, text line 970-478-1301. Colfax, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend that was, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Well, the good, whether it's Drew, Teddy, Patrick Surtain, whatever, the good has flat out been really good in the preseason for Denver. They beat Seattle now 30-3. They absolutely worked Minnesota. I think Broncos fans, at least right now, pretty happy with what they see.
Again, just beat the play clock. Here comes the pressure. Bridgewater steps up, completes it. Into the open field. Jerry Jeudy. Blitz coming. Bridgewater, touchdown. Broncos.
You had to just play Teddy Bridgewater stuff, didn't you, Colfax?
I'm sorry.
Are you getting on the Teddy train?
No.
Are you on the Teddy train?
No, I blame broadcasting.
Well, it's all a conspiracy. That's all they've made available. The bad is that I truly don't feel like you got a fair look at Drew Lock in this one. And, yeah, he was kind of manhandled back there.
Drew Lock under pressure again, brought down again. Rasheem Green this time with a sack. Lock fell down, lost the football.
That's a bummer. If you're going to let that be what is the deciding factor between your quarterback competition, I think that's interesting. Now, I don't know that either one of these guys is the franchise quarterback. I know Teddy's not. I'm really, really skeptical of Drew Lock being the guy. But I'm telling you, this is the year. This is the year to find out. As for the ugly, the Rockies, man. Now, they've been rolling. They're 10 games under 500. Back to it. They need 8 more wins to hit 65. They got like 23 games left, I think. I think they can do that, right? Anyway, but that's the ugly, was that freaking, what inning was that, the 6th inning? And then they ended up, throughout the game, 13 walks, and that 6th inning was awful. John Gray was pretty good until then, but he's now lost 4 straight starts all in August. He saw his ERA rise to 6.7 for the month. He allowed 5 runs on 6 hits and 5 and a third innings, struck out 8, walked 3, and threw a season high 108 pitches. So there you go. And now they're trying to negotiate a new contract for Gray. Well, the month of August has probably helped the Rockies' case a little bit, wouldn't you say? As far as maybe making that deal a little bit sweeter. First Advantage, text line 970-478-1301. A lot of texts are here. A lot like the construction. Give a guy a job that's way above his pay grade. If he fails, doesn't look good to the bosses. If he does well, then he's good. So what he's saying? Go with Lock at this stage? Yeah, I mean, I think we did the poll on Sunday. And I got a lot of people. I mean, I got comments that you are aware that Teddy Bridgewater was a Pro Bowler in 2015. Got to check my calendar. It's on my watch for some reason. What year is this, Colfax? Quick year check for me.
2021.
And 2015 would be how many years ago?
I think 6.
Six years ago. And so we're now using what guys did 6 years ago to determine how good they are going to be. Well, in that case, yeah. Then why'd you leave with Joe Flacco? 6 years ago, that guy's winning a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
So what are we doing here, folks? Come on. I will listen to your arguments about Teddy Bridgewater, but I do not want to hear that he was a Pro Bowler in 2015. Joe Flacco was winning Super Bowls in 2000. Well, he won a Super Bowl in 2011, and then he was a playoff guy for the rest of his, you know, for like 5 years after that. So if that's the case, we already had our guy. If you want to use 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. So I want your thoughts there. Who should be the starting quarterback? That's a poll question from Sunday. I have another poll question today, and it kind of stems off our conversation Friday. Which college football coach are you most concerned about heading into the 2021 season? As far as, you know, between Carl Durrell, Steve Addazio, and Ed McCaffrey. And Steve Addazio is winning the vote, which is not a good, this is not a vote that you want to win, FYI, Rams fans. It goes CSU, Steve Addazio, 47%. UNC's Ed McCaffrey getting 33%. And CU's Carl Durrell is 19%. I think Carl Durrell is just like, you're not worried about him, but you're not like 100% behind him. You're just like, ah, pretty even keel guy. I'm not really worried. Addazio, you're either going to love what he's selling or you're going to see right through it. And listen, on this day, this 23rd day of August, without talking to him face to face, yeah, you think, okay, he's doing a lot of coach speak. But then when you sit in front of him for 30 seconds, you're all in. Ed McCaffrey, kind of the same thing, but different. Addazio, like, get you pumped and Macho Man Randy Savage you, and he's coming up with the Rams, and then the Rams hook the horns, and then they smash each other's face, and that's football, and I'm going to rip them apart. Ed McCaffrey's just more like, you know, we're going to go out, we're going to be amazing, we're the best team, and we love our guys, and we're just going to love them and support them and be there for them. Carl Durrell's just like, he'll ask him a question, he'll just look at you for a while and be like, it's a very good question. We're going to analyze that, and we'll get back to you later. They've all got their different approaches. So I can see why, you know, you're a little skeptical of Steve Addazio. I mean, the guy could sell salt water in an ocean. He could. He could find a way to do it. The guy is a hell of a salesman. We're getting ready to find out what this team's all about. We are getting close. Next Friday. This Friday, we have our very first high school football game. If you can believe that. Is that crazy? We're wrapping up our 13 days, 13 teams training camp coverage. So that's been awesome. Fantastic. And then we're going to lead it right up to the very first high school football game on Friday. 22 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. When we come back, more on the Broncos situation. Load up your text. Who are you going with? Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater? Or do we need a third game? Do we need one more game? And then leave the ones in with both of them. Maybe try that for a change. 22 minutes after the hour. 1 o'clock. We're getting to another edition of the Ellison Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. I can't wait till we can talk to Ellison about games, but we're building up to that. That's coming up at 1 o'clock. More on the Broncos next.
Catch the Ellison Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Mondays at 1 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
On the Rocks Liquor, bringing us our game beer of the week every single week here. This one's from Boulder Beer, Bubbly by Nature IPA. Pick up selections from Boulder Beer or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight. And, hey, we're still going to be in the 90s this week. 90-degree days, I think, according to my weather app. Cool off by picking up some alcohol-infused ice cream by La Creme when you stop by. It's delicious and refreshing. Some housekeeping items here on Wednesday. Colfax, you're hearing this for the first time. We will be live and on location in Denver at the Blake Street Tavern for the Coaches Summit. You remember when we did that 2 years ago? Didn't do it last year. I love that. David Plotty, the SID, he's like the assistant AD marketing. I don't know. They all have 4 million names in there. He's a guy that gets stuff done. He kind of reorganized this thing. It's really cool because every college football coach brings a player or two in the state of Colorado, at least the D1 schools, maybe more. I know when I went, it was Air Force, CSU, CU. Am I missing anybody? Might have been DU was there too. But it was really cool because it's just a way to get them all together. They speak to the media. We set up shop out there. I think there's another radio station out there, a Denver station. So we get to bring our Northern Colorado-ness down there to Denver, if they'll allow us. Denver's a completely different world. But I'm excited to do that. That'll be Wednesday. 1 o'clock, we got the Ellison Hubbard Show starting. All things Colorado. Well, some things Colorado State. We're going to ask them other things too. Got some news out of CSU over the weekend as well. And listen, it just seems like we are in a quarterback competition world now. We saw the CU was in a quarterback competition with Brennan Lewis and JT Shrout. JT Shrout goes down for the season, and so it's Brennan Lewis. Well, CSU wasn't in a quarterback competition, but Matt Valisi was brought in to maybe push Toddy Senteo. Well, he's now out for the season with an injury. So that's a big hit. Boston College transfer. Adazio knows him well. Wanted him here, but it was listed as a lower body injury. Coach Adazio said after Saturday's scrimmage at Canvas Stadium. He was injured in practice last week. He kind of believed he could be the starter, even though we've been told at least at this stage that it was Toddy. Well, getting that news is rough. So if you were skeptical about Toddy and thought, well, at least you got this guy, maybe, well, that goes out the door. Todd likes to run. So injuries. I mean, does that change the game plan? Do you change how you run play calls now, knowing that, hey, you never want to get a guy hurt, but now more than ever, you got to be careful. A couple of texts to get to. Eastside Chris, rabbit hole question. What does one wear on the Teddy train? I'm not on it. And Colfax, I thought, might be on it, but he's on the Drew train. What do you wear on the Drew train? Dress up as a Buzz Lightyear or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what you wear in the Teddy train. Dixon, of course. The last play Vaughn made was in 2015. Oh, man. I can't wait till Vaughn just breaks the sack record. Okay, what happens when Vaughn breaks the sack record, Dixon? Just go there with me. I know you're laughing right now. You're cracking up. But if he gets 18 sacks plus, 18, do you text in and say, you know what? Vaughn still got it. Will you eat some crow? Probably not. I doubt it. He'll come up with some excuse, won't he? He'll figure something out. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Again, stemming from a conversation Friday, but I think this is a good one. Next week, we get to it, Colfax. Which college football coach are you most concerned about heading into the 2021 season? CSU Steve Adazio, Ed McCaffrey, or Carl Durrell? And Steve Adazio is winning that. Somebody had texted earlier and said, it's too soon to tell. These guys are all so young. I mean, Adazio is not young. He's not old necessarily, but he's not. He's been coaching a while now. I'm still shocked. Again, the excitement factor's there for Ed. That's kind of a concern. 45% now saying Steve Adazio. 36, Ed McCaffrey. 18 for Carl Durrell. Nobody's worried about Mr. Durrell. Maybe that's a great sign for Buffs fans. Go to thewholeshow.com to vote. And we'll discuss more Warren Jackson or more CSU news. Warren Jackson was waived today by Minnesota. So, I thought this guy 2 years ago, I would have said, man, he's shaping up to be. I think we even did a poll question like that, didn't we? Who's going to be the better NFL wide receiver when it's all said and done? Gallup, Rashard Higgins, B.C. Johnson, or Warren Jackson? Warren had some votes, but now he's struggling to make a team. Gets cut from the Broncos and now waived by the Vikings. So we'll stay tuned to see what's next for Warren. Don't you think that, you gotta wonder if he would have opted in to play last year, would that have helped his situation a little bit more? 33 minutes after the hour. We'll get to, I got some Nuggets stuff that I want to get to. This idea that Nikola Jokic needs to win a title in order to gain some respect. I just have one simple question, and we'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NoCo now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Top Text Tuesday coming up. Of course, tomorrow, if you're paying attention to the calendar, Colmes, Fresh Coat Painter South Platte hooking us up with that sponsorship, and looking forward to what the next prize is going to be. Dixon won last week. We didn't have the prize, so we'll see what the Hooligans can do. Bring tomorrow Fresh Coat Painters South Platte, a good partner of this program. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. Our Power to Play Sports poll question: which college football coach are you most concerned about heading into the 2021 season? Coach McCaffrey's gaining on him. CSU's Steve Adazio is getting 43% of the votes. UNC Ed McCaffrey, 39%. Carl Durrell at 17%. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. And we'll see where football fans throughout the state are most concerned as far as coaches heading into the 2021 season. Don't forget, the Ellison Hubbard Show begins at 1 o'clock today. CSU Rams defensive lineman. Pumped to see that line in action. I'm pumped to see what Adazio's crew is really all about. They got that first game coming up September 3rd against South Dakota State, same night as UNC and CU are playing, so it will be a busy Friday. Some Nuggets stuff to go over. I keep hearing this on the national media and even some of the local media, that if Nikola Jokic and Nuggets fans, they want the national media to shut up, then there's going to be one simple solution for Nikola Jokic as far as getting some recognition that he's clearly not getting. Got to be the most disrespected MVP, perhaps in the history of MVPs, not just the NBA. The simple solution: win a championship. I agree. Like, those are my standards. I want him to, I do think the Nuggets with him, and again, getting a healthy Jamal Murray at some point, I'd put them up there as far as a favorite to do it. But is that the criteria for James Harden and Russell Westbrook, Luka Doncic? I mean, Giannis, before he won it this year, Chris Paul, who went. A lot of these guys have had tons of recognition and no championships to show for it. So the idea that, oh, well, he's got to win a title to even be considered in your lists? No. Okay, to be considered the best player in the league, sure, I could see where you're going there, but I mean, come on, I'm asking for Joker just to be on the simple NBA list that they keep putting out of top 10 players in the league. Top five. He's top five. If you don't want to go that route, I don't understand why, but he's top five. So, I mean, this is a joke. What he's able to do each and every year, and he's gotten better each and every year. I mean, last year was easy for him. He arrived to that point where he can fall asleep and hit 30. That's when you know you're one of the best in the league. Denver hasn't had a guy like that since Melo, and I don't remember it being as easy. I mean, Melo was a pure scorer, but Joker just, he makes it look so easy. He'll get a quiet 38 points, and you'll be like, really? I don't even remember him. He just does it. He's that good. So I get it. It's not flashy. It's not flashy like what you're used to in the rest of the league, but it's still to the point where you look at it and you think, man, how can this guy not get more recognition overall? First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. You're going to hold him to that standard, hold him to the same standard as everybody else then. I mean, if Chris Paul's getting that kind of recognition, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, then I think Joker should be in the mix. Okay, Dalton Risner scored a touchdown. Dalton Risner got a touchdown. He like rips it out of Javonte, I think it was Javonte Williams, right? It rips it out. So Williams is fighting to get over the goal line. He's like in a busting, turning. They're trying to strip the ball. Well, Risner just kind of grabs it from him and scores a touchdown, which was amazing. It's awesome. Risner's like so much fun to watch. He threw Philip Lindsay into the end zone a few years ago. He like tackled him in there. And then, of course, this situation where he just grabs the ball. But I got a quick question. Like, you're not supposed to pass the line of scrimmage. You can't advance the ball forward. You can lateral it. You can pitch it. You could even hand it off behind you. Am I wrong on this? Sports fans, help me out. Reisner grabs the ball from a running back and pull. So the running back's going, trying to go over the line. He can't get there. Well, Reisner's in front of him. So if he pulls the ball out of Williams' hand, do they call that a fumble and then Reisner recovered it? Or do they call it an illegal lateral or an illegal forward handoff beyond the line of scrimmage? They were past the line of scrimmage. Reisner was in the end zone, grabs the ball from Williams, and scores. I mean, I know we're all like, this is it's preseason. I don't care. It's a touchdown. It's awesome. But that's one of those weird rules. And if that's the case, that's fine, I suppose. But the NFL has a few of those, right? So if they allow that to happen, it's just like, you know, when you spike the ball. Snap it, spike the ball, stop the clock. Well, isn't that intentional grounding? You're not throwing it to anybody, and you're inside the pocket. So shouldn't spiking the football be intentional grounding? I mean, think about that. If you're rolling out to the right, and you don't see anybody, and you're going to take a sack, you just throw the ball down. That's an intentional grounding. But if you're, you snap the ball, pop it down real fast, that's just an incomplete pass. To nobody. So is this one of those rules in the league that they're kind of like, yeah, that's fine. Because if Reisner was behind him, he easily could have grabbed it or get the ball pitched to him. Am I wrong? What do you guys think of that? I'd like to know. 970-478-1301. Now, they don't encourage this, by the way. They don't want to get in the habit of offensive linemen with these, you know, the giant gloves they have on and just trying to rip it away from a running back because they want that. Well, obviously, I mean, if the running back's still pumping and pushing, he might still get in there. But if you try to pull it from him and maybe the running back doesn't realize what's going on, he tries to pull. And next thing you know, they're both pulling against each other. The ball goes up in the air. You could have an issue. So it's not like something they say. I've never seen anything quite like it. I've always thought about it. You know, when there's a little scrum going on and they're pushing the pile. It's like that lineman, or if anybody, not just a lineman, standing outside the pile, just grabs the ball and takes off. But I still, isn't that an illegal forward push of the football? I sure thought so. Or do you call it a fumble, even though the ball never hit the ground? Reisner just ripped it from him and scores. So could you say that Reisner caused a fumble and then recovered it and scored a touchdown? Or is it because the running back didn't hand him the ball necessarily? I need to get an official on that one because that one to me seems like an illegal forward advancement of the football beyond the line of scrimmage. Nobody's talking about this. I'm being a Debbie Downer, but that's what I noticed. 47 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're going to wrap up hour number one. We have the Ellison Hubbard Show starting up at 1 o'clock. I love this program. Get the players' perspective. Thanks to Crazy Carl's Pizza for that. Don't forget, those of you that are playing our fantasy football league, those of you that missed out, you missed out. Better luck next year. We're at the Tilted Barrel tomorrow. Ellison's coming over. He's going to be there. So that's going to be a great time. I'm so pumped for this. Colfax is in the mix. We got tons of great Hooligans, tons of new Hooligans. It's going to be a blast. We'll be right back.
Catch the Ellison Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Mondays at 1 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, I put out a technical question to our friend Cody Rourke of the guy that is, he's in the know on all this stuff. So he's the one you want to go to, Pro Football Network. Cody's going to know it. He's our technical guy. So I just put the question like this. Technical question on Reisner's touchdown. Is it legal to hand the football forward beyond the line of scrimmage? Is that considered a fumble forced by Reisner? Obviously, you can't pitch the football forward beyond the line of scrimmage, but can you hand it forward? That's what I want to know. Now, quarterbacks can hand it frontwards, backwards, and everywhere in between behind the line of scrimmage. But beyond that, when you're running, can they hand it forward like that? Can they certainly can't pitch it like that. But, yeah, that was my first thought, and nobody else brought it up. So I thought, am I an idiot for thinking this? Because nobody else said anything about it. Because I always felt like that was the rule. You cannot advance the football forward other than you run it. Now, like, if you fumble the ball, and it's obvious that you're kicking it forward down the field to advance, you can't do that. They had that happen a few times in the back in the day. You can't do that. So I'm not trying to steal Dalton Reisner's glory here. We love Dalton. It was awesome for him. But even the broadcaster didn't even acknowledge it when it happened. They didn't even see it. They didn't say anything about it. Touchdown, Broncos. And they went to a commercial break. Were they like, what the hell just happened, man? Am I the only person asking this? And if so, I feel like an idiot or I'm extremely wise. One of the two.
Well, what is advancing the football? Because if the ball switched hands and stayed in the same place.
That's true.
And then was advanced after the transaction took place. That's not necessarily.
Well, when I just went back, Clark Johnson, who's covered a lot of football games, he said, well, if it's not a pitch, I think they could still hand it forward because you see quarterbacks do that all the time. I said, yeah, but behind the line of scrimmage.
Right.
But I thought that if the ball was advanced forward by giving it to someone else. Now, if Javonte Williams drops the ball forward and then Reisner picks it up, that's just a fumble recovery. Even if he did it on purpose, it's intent. Can referees, can they penalize intent like that? No. So technically, he could have been like, oh, I can't get over, there's Dalton, and just drop it, and then Dalton grabs it. Then that's a touchdown. But I didn't think you could just go grab a ball from somebody. Now, if Reisner was behind him all day long, I'm just going to grab it from you, run around, and bam, I'm in. I just didn't think you could. Eastside Chris says, Brady, I thought the same thing. Uh-oh. That's scary when me and Eastside Chris are on the same page. So we need to get this out there. Please, somebody help me. I wanted to tweet it out, but Twitter's terrifying if you ask that question. Here, at least, you know, you guys can just attack me on the text line, and I can ignore it. I don't have to see it. But Twitter is like, they can be mean to you and be like, you're an idiot. What are you talking about? I might just tweet it. Is that a real, like, come on. I need to know the answer to this question. Ellison might have an answer for us on the Dalton Reisner thing. He might have an answer. He's a defensive guy, but he's got to know those kind of rules, right? We'll talk to Ellison Hubbard about it with the Ellison Hubbard Show starting up at 1 o'clock. He's going to be in studio. I don't think they had practice today, so he'll be in studio. We're going to be hanging out, talking. Well, I'm going to get his fantasy football strategy for sure. We'll find out about that. I'm going to find the big question that I got for him. You ready for this? Intense. Has he played the new Madden yet? And if he has, have they made any changes? We'll talk about all that coming up. The Ellison Hubbard Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza with locations in Fort Collins and Loveland coming up right after the 1 o'clock hour. All things Colorado State football from Ellison Hubbard coming up next.